Hello?
Good afternoon. You're on the weekly telephone call with the Stowell Learning Center and fixedlearningskills.com. This is Jill and David Stowell. We're owners of Stowell Learning Center. We've now been in business. This is our 25th year. We work with 4,000 students or more. Our specialty is reading, writing, spelling, math, attention, processing skills. What really makes us different, though, is that we fix learning problems, and we do it permanently. These Monday phone calls are about 30 to 45 minutes, and it's really about fixing learning problems. Now, this is not really a diagnostic session. We're not here to go into that kind of depth, but this is an overview or a glimpse or an awareness of what's possible for students today. You know, when we look out at school kids and look at the research and look at what the numbers tell us, we know that there are 14.9 million school kids with learning skills that could really be improved and would make their learning and school and oftentimes their life much easier. Unfortunately, in our clinic, we don't have capacity to serve 14.9 million. I don't think we could serve 5,000 at one time. So, but the problem is that each week we get calls from across the country and sometimes from even foreign countries asking if there's somebody like us in their area. And most of the time the answer is no. There aren't many people worldwide who do the kinds of things that we do. So we're hoping, you know, there's not a lot we can do, but we hope to give parents hope and to get knowledge and to send them in the right direction and help them learn to ask the right questions. Now, as we do these calls, no one particular call will do it all. You're not going to find out everything that we talk about in just one call. But over the course of a few weeks and a few calls, parents will start to get a bigger picture and more complete picture of what's going on. So tonight's call, our topic is why so many kids are struggling to read. Now, Jill, I have to ask you, why did you choose this topic?
You know, most of the parents who call us are concerned about their child's reading. And a lot of times, you know, parents feel pretty alone in this. They feel like their child is the only one who is struggling with reading in school. And unfortunately, there are approximately 10 million school-age children, or one out of five, who has some kind of a reading difficulty. In 2000, the National Assessment Governing Board in the U.S. Said that 37% of our fourth graders were illiterate. 37% illiteracy rate among fourth graders. And then in 2003, the Department of Education came out and said that actually only 32% of fourth graders can read at a proficient level and, you know, thereby have the skills they need for solid academic achievement. So we're talking of kids, fourth grade, and of course that just sort of perpetuates itself, that are struggling in school, struggling with reading.
That's an awful lot of kids.
It's a huge number, and the vast majority of these children have average to above average intelligence.
Wow.
So that really, you know, brings us to that question, how can a smart child be struggling with reading? On this call, we're also going to touch on some other important questions about reading. Are our kindergartens creating readers or learning problems? Does a reading disability go away with time? What's being done? And, you know, why isn't it always working? And then we'll try to give some tips to parents of some things they might be able to do, you know, immediately within their child's homework that might be of help.
Let's dive in here. Why is it that so many bright kids are struggling to read?
Well, you know, I want to take just a little tangent for a minute before we do that and ask you, David, to tell us all of the skills that go into playing basketball, because I know you're a big basketball fan. So what are the skills that someone would have to play basketball?
Well, if you're going to play really well, you know, there's shooting and scoring, of course, which everybody knows about, the exciting part of the game. But also you need to learn to play defense. You got to know where you're supposed to be on the court. You've got to be able to read the defense. You've got to, what they call, support the ball. Be where you can get a pass. You've got to be able to find openings. You've got to be able to, anticipate. If you're, down low, you've got to be able to block out. On defense, you've got to know when and how to double team. And on offense, how to overcome double teaming.
Those actually sound like pretty high-level skills. Are those all of the skills needed for basketball?
Well, if we were to look at I guess this would be kind of obvious, but at the lowest level of skills, of course, you got to be able to stand up. You got to be able to walk and run and see and hear. You got to be able to hold a ball and balance. And then if we were to look at specific basketball skills, of course, you've got to be able to dribble and shoot and pass. You got to be able to catch a pass. You got to be able to rebound. And of course, the higher up you go in basketball, the more you got to have your left hand and right hand be equal in terms of, dribbling and sometimes shooting with either hand. You got to be able to go to your left and right. Your body position's got to be in the right place.
It's funny, the things that you're talking about, of course, some of those are really specific to basketball, but, we never think about things like standing up and walking and running and seeing as being prerequisites, but of course they are. And, reading actually has these same basic levels. If you're really a reader, if you have your game skills in reading, then reading is automatic for you, and you don't have to think about the actual reading part. You just pick up a book and read it and enjoy it, or you pick up a textbook and read it and learn from it. And that's, of course, where we want readers to be. But in order to do that, there is a whole set of learning or processing skills that make it possible for the student, to even begin to learn to read, which involves sounding out and recognizing words and understanding what you read. But just even to start to learn how to read, there's this whole set of underlying skills that are almost as basic as walking and seeing and, things like that.
So what are some of these skills?
Well, we call them learning or processing skills, and they are things like memory, attention, body awareness and control, visual skills, auditory skills. They're kind of the things that we assume that are so absolutely critical to learning, and not all learners have them in place.
Can you give us some more specifics?
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about the body connections. It may seem like things like posture would not have any impact on reading, but learning depends on good control of the body and good control of posture and sense of orientation in space. So if your child has really poor posture, or if they kind of lay down on the desk or really, really lean to one side when they're reading, sometimes it looks like they're kind of lazy or they have an attitude problem, but in reality, it could be the result of poor body control and poor internal organization. And that hugely affects learning to read. So kids learn to compensate for this, but it takes a lot of energy and attention, and so that sort of takes away the attention they could put on learning. And you mentioned right and left in basketball. Well, if a person has trouble understanding right and left on themselves, then it's going to be very difficult to deal with right and left on letters. I mean, that's a much higher thinking skill. So letters like B and D could be very confusing.
So we've got body connections, right?
Right, right.
What else do you have?
Well, in order to sound out or recognize words, which obviously we have to be able to do to read, you have to make sense out of the letters that you see on the page. You have to be able to understand the letters and sounds and the code of the language. Well, in order to do that, you have to be able to pay close attention to visual detail. You have to be able to look at those letters and know what they are. That requires visual maturity. So a child's eyes have to be ready for that kind of close-up work. It requires that the eyes are working together properly and that the brain is actually perceiving or interpreting what the eyes see accurately. If your child has difficulty with visual skills, you might see that they get very sleepy when they try to read, or they might misread little words like the and of and if that you know they know, but when they read them in text, they miss them. You know, they might say they don't feel good when they're reading. They feel nauseous, maybe. Or they may feel like the letters are moving around on the page.
Wait a minute. They might feel like the letters are moving around on the page?
We call that disorientation, and you would be surprised the number of students that when you question them about it, they're kind of like, yeah, you know, it feels like the letters are squishing together or moving up and down or running off the page. So you can imagine how difficult it would be to read if anything like that were happening.
Well, so you talked about body connections. You talked about visual skills. What other skills are required to be able to read?
Well, you know, one of the absolute most critical skills for reading is an auditory processing skill called phonemic awareness.
You mean like phonics?
Well, it's really the thinking process that allows you to learn phonics. It is the ability to think about the sounds inside of words, and it's actually considered the key predictor of success or failure in reading. If processing the sounds inside of words is difficult for a child or an adult, for anybody, then that person is going to have difficulty learning phonics. And, you know, honestly, we've talked to so many parents who have had great phonics programs, really good phonics teachers, lots and lots of practice, and, you know, the sounds still do not make any sense to their child. And parents will say to me, it's like she can't hear the sounds. Well, if you can't hear or process the sounds in words, you are going to struggle to understand how reading works. So it's just a huge factor. Surprisingly, research tells us that 30% of the population across the board has incompletely developed phonemic awareness. So that means that, you know, 30% of the kids in every classroom are, you know, have some degree of difficulty with reading because of this auditory processing factor.
Wow. So we've talked about these skills. When kids, I guess what you're saying is if you have one of these little skills that's out of whack or not completely developed, does that mean that you won't be able to read?
It means that reading is probably going to be more difficult for you than it should be. And for some students, yeah, just one of these factors out of whack, and it makes it so that they just simply, you know, cannot master reading or spelling at all. Many students learn how to compensate to some degree, but they always are slower, they make more mistakes, it takes a lot more energy, homework takes longer, because they never really get to that truly accurate and automatic level.
Would it be likely that if one of these skills is not as strong as it should be, that there would be others? Or is it pretty much just one?
You know, I would say most of the time in our testing, we see that there are a number of factors that are affecting a student's learning or reading. But sometimes everything is working well, but one factor, and usually if that's the case, it's going to be the phonemic awareness.
Well, so what is being done for these kids? Well, how can we fix this situation?
Well, certainly for some children, they're getting special education help at school. That's about 5 to 9% of the children who are struggling, so about 5 to 9% of that 14.9 million children, they're getting special education help. They have a special IEP or individualized education plan. Children who don't qualify but are at risk for failing, their parents might be able to get them what's called a 504 plan or an accommodation plan, where they can have special accommodations in class, like someone maybe could read the test to them, or they get more time on tests, or, you know, maybe don't have to do as many spelling words or things like that. A lot of families, when their child is struggling with reading, they say, well, then I need to get tutoring, need to get reading tutoring, which usually turns out to be more reading, kind of more of the same. And, almost every family we talk to, the parents are spending hours and hours sitting with their children trying to help them do homework at night. With all of these things, children are getting supported and they are getting help to get their work done.
So it's working?
It's a support. And I think that support is really important. But here's the problem. With all that effort and energy, the problem usually isn't getting solved. So kids might be getting through, they might be getting their homework done, but they're not becoming independent with reading. Accommodation and even tutoring does not usually lead to independence. It's a support. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes we refer to it as, like riding a bike with a flat tire. You know, you can do it, and if someone's helping you, you know, you can manage to ride along with a flat tire. But, you know, even with lots and lots of support, it doesn't make the bike go a lot faster, and it doesn't fix the problem.
So what if it isn't getting better? What do people do?
Well, if your child is receiving special ed at school and you've done the tutoring route and you know, you're working with your child every night and it's still not getting better, that really tells you that those underlying skills that are causing the problem must be addressed. Because if they're not, then everyone gets more frustrated and the gap just gets bigger. Sometimes I talk to parents about reading like a ladder. So if you could just imagine a ladder, now put reading on the top step. Now look down at all the steps below it. Well, all those represent underlying skills that need to be in place for someone to read automatically and easily. Schools teach curriculum, which is at the top of the ladder. So in school, they teach you how to read, which is at the top. Traditional tutors teach you how to read. And it's kind of assumed when children go into school that all those supporting skills are in place. But we already know that that is simply not true for about 30% of the school population. And
well, so,
if you're starting... Go ahead.
Well, I hate to cut you off here, but if you need that skill development, are there programs, are there places that you can get that kind of help?
There are. Unfortunately, there are not a tremendous number of places around the country. I mean, there's that certainly is what we do in our clinic, and we know a number of people around the country that do similar things. But it really does take some specialized programs and strategies to develop these underlying skills.
So these underlying skills can be developed if they don't develop naturally.
Yes, yes, they can.
And but they have to be done by people who are trained with special programs that are designed specifically to do that, right?
Right. The thing is that if the skills are developing slowly, or, you know, if they haven't really developed completely, they probably won't without intervention. And so just, you know, a lot of times people say, oh, well, he just needs to mature a little bit. We'll just wait and see. But time is not going to solve the problem. And more reading, just doing lots and lots more reading, is not enough. That's not going to solve it. More practice is not enough, because those underlying skills have to be in place. And the only way that that's going to happen if they're delayed or slow in developing is to specifically train them. And we do know that the brain can be retrained.
Well, let me ask you this. We know nowadays in most states, kids are starting to read in kindergarten. They've you know, moved it down, so their kids are getting that good early start. Shouldn't that help?
You know, that's a great question. Kindergartens used to be about finger painting and movement and learning to play together and listening to stories and things like that. And if you think about those skills that involve a lot of listening and running and jumping and movement, well, those are really skills that help develop those visual skills and auditory skills and body skills that we talked about. Today, kindergarten is mostly about academics. And unfortunately, we're really pushing reading and writing on our children before their bodies and eyes are ready. And so I think that we're going to look back on this generation of children and see that we actually have created more learning problems and more frustrated learners because we're asking them to do things that they aren't ready to do, instead of giving them the chance to build those underlying skills in a natural way.
So you're saying starting earlier is not always a good thing?
Starting earlier with academics and with computers is not always a good thing. What our little children need is lots of unstructured outside playtime. Not unsupervised, but unstructured.
Hmm.
And, you know, for parents, I would just say if you have the option, your child's going into kindergarten and you have the option of doing what's called a developmental kindergarten, I would absolutely recommend it. And if not, you know, if your child has lots of homework and you know, lots of pencil paper stuff, then you're going to have to work really hard to make it fun, give them lots of breaks, get them moving, you know, after every 15 minutes or so of sitting and doing paperwork, because that's what those little guys really need.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there anything parents can do to help their kids, you know, who seem to be struggling with reading? I mean, you've already talked about working on underlying skills, and you talked about specialized programs that apparently schools don't have, but are available in some places. What can a parent do, you know, if none of that seems to be available to them?
Well, I do think it's really important if parents know that their child is really struggling with reading, that they really go after getting those underlying skills developed. I mean, that is the most critical thing. And, you know, people can contact us and we can try to direct them to someone in their area, or they can, you know, we can talk to them about distance learning if there's no one in their area. Certainly if they're in our area, you know, we have a clinic. But let me just give you a couple of things, techniques that we like to teach to our parents, you know, that parents could do tonight even in their child's, you know, in with their child's homework that might begin to help. The first is a technique that's called spell read. And this is a really great technique for kids who they tend to, you know, guess at words, like they'll say the first few sounds in the word and then guess, or they skip those little words like the and of and if, or change them. And all you do is just in whatever your child is reading, you know, a homework assignment, a book for school, a fun book, take about 2 to 5 minutes every day and have them actually spell the word and then read it. So each word, they're going to spell it and then read it. And it just helps their eyes to notice everything that's in the word.
Do you mean like B-A-L-L, ball?
Yep, that's exactly right. So you know, obviously it doesn't sound like fluent reading, but it's really training the eyes to notice all of the letters inside of words, which is important, an important step for accurate reading.
Okay. What else can they do?
Another technique that is very helpful for just, you know, helping kids to be able to get exposed to a lot of words and read them accurately and also helps with comprehension is called neurological impress reading. And what happens
sounds
is...
sounds like a fancy thing. Do you need a machine for that?
No, it's really easy, and you can do it with anything. The student puts their finger under the word, and the parent puts their finger above the word. And they read the passage slowly together. Now, the parent gets to be the leader, and the parent should set the pace, and they should read very slowly. So if I were reading this sentence, how do I help my child with reading? It would sound like this. How do I help my child with reading? So I'm still using expression, but I'm going slowly. We're looking at every word and thinking about every word. Then when we get to punctuation, like a question mark or a period at the end of the word, then we tap twice. So it's helping
you
to...
Do what?
Oh, use your finger and tap twice.
On the
book, right where you are with the punctuation. But it helps them to notice the punctuation, the speed, and you know, really putting your finger under each word helps them to really think about the words. It's actually an excellent technique for building reading accuracy and for building reading comprehension. I mean, it's not going to substitute for all of the stuff that goes into reading, but there have even been studies on this that have shown, you know, you do this 10 minutes a day for several months, and you know, you're going to get 1.5 to 2 years of growth in reading. That's what the studies have shown. So it's a really great little technique. Parents can do it with their kids right away.
Okay.
And it takes the pressure out of the reading.
Are there any other techniques we can share with people?
The other thing I would tell parents is that whenever you are reading with your child, you want to kind of take the time to talk about the mental pictures that are coming into mind as you read. Because in order to really comprehend, you've got to be kind of creating a movie in your mind. So, you know, as you read with your child, again, in whatever material you're reading, just kind of talk about the mental pictures that you're, that the two of you are making as you go, and it will help them to comprehend better when they're reading.
Now, will these things take the place of the techniques and programs that you talked about?
No, but they're helpful little tools, and they're very simple for parents to do. You know, just within the homework they're doing, helps get a little more mileage out of that homework. The biggest thing is, you know, children and adults with average to above average intelligence can and should become good readers. And in order for that to happen, those underlying skills have to be developed. Going through life with a flat tire is too much effort. It's not fun, and it's not necessary.
Well, so, it sounds. I'm trying to make sure I understand what we've talked about tonight. You really talk about successful reading being the byproduct, should we say, or the result of a number of skill areas and individual skills being developed. Is that right?
Right. And the thing is,
and to fix
people who are good readers.
Uh huh.
People who are good readers. Those skills are already in place. And so students who are struggling with reading, you know, one or more of those skills just is not supporting them well enough.
And is it fair to say that oftentimes the skills that are missing, parents might or might not notice in their kids?
Well, a lot of times what parents will notice is that they're having trouble reading. And they might not realize that it's because they're struggling to understand the sounds in words. Or they might not realize it's because they have a lot of confusion about what they're looking at on the page. They just see that reading is hard.
And to fix that difficulty in reading, we really have to go after those underlying skills that are needed to make learning to read easy.
Right. We have to figure out what they are for each individual, you know, what skills are lacking or delayed, and then develop those, right?
And I want to make sure people understand, you know, we do three things pretty well at the clinic. One is we work with kids in the area who come to the clinic two or three times a week, and eventually they don't come anymore, and they learn to read and learn. Pretty easily. The second thing is, you know, we do have a distance learning program, and I know that you always say that the very best situation is to be working with somebody in person, but we've had some success both in the country and out of the country with distance learning. And the third thing is that we do train other professionals in the techniques and programs that we use. So, well, thanks for that. Let me run by some questions parents have. First of all, how about this one? If my child has difficulty reading, shouldn't I get a reading tutor? Would a reading tutor help?
You know, a lot of times what happens when a child goes to a reading tutor is they get taught the basic skills of reading, like phonics and sight words and reading comprehension. Well, if the child is having trouble with those in school, then getting more practice with those with a tutor is usually not going to provide a permanent solution. They might be able to do some things well, even when the tutor is right there to cue them, but in terms of really becoming an independent reader, it probably isn't going to happen because they're having difficulty because there's something underlying those skills that's not working well for them.
Okay. As a parent, somebody has asked, why hasn't anyone told me about this before? Have you heard that before?
You know, I hear that all the time. And You know, that's a tough question. I think it's because, just in general, we as a society are becoming more educated about processing skills and the fact that the brain really can be trained to think in different ways and think more efficiently. But, you know, a lot of this has been something that, while it's been in the research for the past 30 years, it kind of hasn't trickled into the schools or even into the universities, you know, until very, very recently. So I think people haven't talked about it because they didn't know.
Okay. How about this one? My child reads just fine but has trouble with math. Do these same skills apply to math?
You know, the same principle applies to math. Certainly with reading, there are certain skills. Like we said, phonemic awareness is really crucial to reading. Well, with math, there are, you know, some of the same and some different underlying processing skills that are absolutely critical to being able to understand and do math. So if your child is struggling with math, the same principles apply. You've got to find out what the underlying issues are and correct those so that they can learn and understand math.
All right. Maybe we should do a call on math one of these days.
That would be great.
Well, we're running out of time here. We're going to close up for tonight, but thanks for all your information, Jill. On our next call, if there are questions that you would like to have answered, send them to questions@fixlearningskills.com, and we'll get to as many parent questions as we can. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.